This interview was scheduled on the theme of changes in the system of education, but as I was contemplating on this subject, I was forced to think first about our society and its maladies. For is it not true that the quality of a pie depends on the apples used in making it? So my question to you is, what are the maladies that afflict our society today? And where do we stand today?
You know, this question can be answered at length, can be answered very briefly. So let me answer the question for the present moment very briefly. The malady of our present society is, first, that it does not have leadership which is devoted to creating visions of the future and educating the members of the society in visualizing the future and how we can design better and more prosperous future of the country. This is the first and foremost malady. However, it is not true that our country has no vision at all. There are visions. But these visions are not being debated at the highest levels in our society. If you read newspapers, magazines, apart from Dr. Kalam, I don't think any recent leader has raised the question of visions for India. Even then, there are people who have visions. And if you make inquiry, visions are available. I always think of the vision that Sri Aurobindo has given for the future. But how many people know that Sri Aurobindo has given a great vision for the future? A future which is practicable, realizable, and his own rational arguments for developing that vision and realizing that vision. Why is it that our people do not have even the idea that such a vision is available in our country? It's a question I'm putting, it's a malady. There is a sickness in our country that this dimension is absent.
Absolutely. So the vision of people is very myopic. They only think of their little self, their little surrounding, their little life. They are not able to look beyond themselves.
You are right. Take for example, one of the important areas for visualizing the future is the frontiers of knowledge. We have many scholars in our country, some of them are of the very highest order. They are experts who can give you their visions of the frontiers of knowledge. Unfortunately, our society doesn't go to them. And they have no means of communicating what they are thinking. Our magazines, for example, are totally silent on this subject.
So that means there is a big gulf between governance and thinkers.
Not only governance, but also among the large masses of people and the a few individuals who are at the top of their visions. to make those visions make available to different strata of society. Neither from lower level the aspiration goes up, nor the answers that are available or that could be made available are made available to these people. It's a big gulf, as you rightly said.
And also the gulf is between those in power who can do something about it, like take the help of those who have visions. It's like a triangle. You have the masses and you have the government on one side, which is probably visionless, but for President Kalam. And then you have the thinkers. Thinkers do not have the executive power. The leaders don't have the vision. And the masses are stuck in their own little myopic world.
Exactly. This is a malady in our country. And you rightly point this out. And therefore, when you spoke of governance, I agree with you that in that respect, there is a big lacuna in the governance of the country from this point of view. But this is only one malady. There is a second malady of which I would like to speak a little. And that is the lethargy. In our country there is a lack of dynamism. There are many reasons for it. You remember when Swami Vivekananda rose to the heights of his meteoric career, he spoke of the message of strength and dynamism. He spoke of Vedanta in the football. And he wanted to give to our youths muscles of steel. And he wanted the brain power of Indian youths to be galvanized. Unfortunately, India has not responded to that great call. Sri Aurobindo wrote a small article which is extremely important, Brain of India. We have not been able to create a great intellectual ability among our young people. Our young people are educated in our country, in our universities, which are manufacturing, as it were, young people, half-baked, unemployable.
So essentially, when we talk about lethargy, it is to do with the intellect of the Indian mind is lethargic. It does not want to make the effort to think beyond its routine.
You are right, that is to say, intellect can be a very powerful instrument of energizing the people.
So there is fatigue in the intellect.
It's fatigue, and not only fatigue, there is idleness.
There is no aspiration to even make an effort to look beyond one.
Some young people would say, I would like to read 100 great books of the world. You should go around the country and ask them, how many young people want to read 100 books of the world? That will give a measurement of our intellectual ability.
What do you think is the cause for this? Why is it so peculiar to India specifically? I mean, we do see countries in the West which, when one visits, we can see that there is a throbbing and there is a pulse that says, you know, I want to read and I want to... Now, is that just a fallacy, or is there a difference between the intellectual development currently in India and the West?
Well, if you want me to answer at a deeper level, I would say that right from the ancient times, barring the very early Vedic age, where the principle of dynamism was very greatly emphasized, even in the Upanishads, like Ishopanishad, the philosophy of dynamism was given to our country. Even the Gita is a tremendous dynamo of inspiration to awake the people to work.
Karma Yoga.
To Karma Yoga and to be engaged in action. Despite this very rich message available to India, soon thereafter a period came where meaninglessness of life began to be advocated. And sometimes they say that our spirituality of India is at fault. I would like to reject this idea. Our spiritual capacity of the country is so great that I would say that even today, if you are alive and kicking to some extent, it is because of our spirituality.
So according to you, it is the wrong interpretation of our scriptures that resulted in the illusionist theory that has been the cause for this...
There is this illusionism, meaninglessness of life, and asking the best people to renounce. Not the renunciation is wrong, but renounce so that you are completely, you become escapists.
So basically it is... this understanding that has caused people to renounce life itself instead of the renunciation of desires or that which makes a man out of a man.
Yeah, this is it. You are right. So our great difficulty has arisen since this meaninglessness of life has been advocated. And it is that which has to be corrected. We have to find out what is the meaning of life. Life on earth is not meaningless. It's very meaningful. And that is why, the reason why I go to the message of Sri Aurobindo is where he equates yoga and life. And he says, all life is yoga. And he wants dynamism of divine consciousness to work on the earth.